broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good morning. We are looking over the most beautiful harbor there is, downtown Honolulu, the harbor that I actually sailed into when I first came to Hawaii many, many years ago. It's a gorgeous way to come to the islands, to sail in. I recommend it to anyone. This is the Golf Club Radio Show. So happy to be with you this morning. It is a little rainy. We had those beautiful, cool evenings for so many days, and then the wind was blowing, knocking down the utility poles. Everything's back to normal. The wind left, the rain came, and we're going to talk some golf this morning because all of the tours are playing. Just the LPGA. The LPGA starts next week. We'll be talking all about the season opener with Ron Cyrak. This morning, we're with Bob Bubka, the voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, host of the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. They're taking care of a lot of great golfers. Some of them, including John Daly, are playing right now at Hualalai, the Champions Tour playing. He is author of The Ryder Cup, Golf's Greatest Event, released in the first e-book edition by Diversion Books. And we're going to take a tour of the tours. We're also going to have Mel Soule in-house today. Mel Soule. He is a professional golfer and owner of Golf Schools and the Mel Ritzel School of Golf. He just underwent shoulder surgery, so he's just in rehab, and it is so painful. I have a friend who is going through it. I thought Mel could enlighten all of us about just rehab in general, getting your game back, getting your mobility back in rehab. And Wendy Gray and Mackenzie Ling will be with us. Backswing Golf Events. When you bring in some professional golfers to your event to have some fun, some clinics, and play a little golf with you. So we'll be back right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Alan Nakata, 548-7526. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Poipu Bay Golf Course, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. Kauai's South Shore gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Rousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Rousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
And a great good morning to you. We are in the clubhouse, and our guests this morning, Diana DeLucia, Mel Soule, Wendy Gray, Mackenzie Ling, and none other than Bob Bubka, the voice of golf on Talk Sport and the host of the Grill Room Golf Show. Hey, it's still morning in Houston. Good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning, Danielle, and let me open up by congratulating you on the milestone that you achieved last week at Wailea Country Club. I think a record number of years doing that golf show from that fabulous place. I enjoyed the interview you had with Mark Ralphing and actually enjoyed your entire show. So congratulations on achieving that milestone and many, many more ahead of you.
20 years. I've been doing this show for 20 years. It was the 20th anniversary of the Sony Open in Hawaii. And I can't wait for you to stick around. I know you come over to the Century Tournament of Champions over at beautiful Kapalua every year, and I hope you'll stay for the Sony Open in Hawaii next year so we can celebrate the 21st year that the Golf Club is on the air and talking golf. This morning, we're talking about Diana DeLucia is CEO of Golf Kitchen. She has a book She has a magazine. She goes inside the most beautiful country clubs, inside her books and magazines. And on the cover of the winter issue of Golf Kitchen, the magazine, is Gary Player with an interview by Rye Waddington, one of the chefs who is part of Golf Kitchen. And so it's just kind of an eclectic show. As I said at the top, Mel Soule is director of instruction, owner of the Mel Soule Golf School. And he's just underwent his own shoulder surgery, so he's getting back into the game. We're going to talk some Tiger, what he thinks. And, Bob, that's what I want to talk with you. I want to take a tour of the tours and starting off with the Mitsubishi Electric at Hualalai. Colin Montgomery, what a back nine he had. 31, and his putting was amazing. Did you get to watch?
I did watch a little bit of it. I happen to know Colin very well. Probably, certainly in the argument of best player, never to win a major. I mean, he won the European Order of Merit for 8 consecutive years. Was an absolute standout as a Ryder Cup player, but never got his nose across the line in a major championship, but certainly a wealth of talent, and no surprise that he's playing well again this week.
But he's put together a number of major championships now that he's on the Champions Tour, the PGA Champions.
Yeah, oh no, he's won some majors on that tour. He just never was able to get it done. You know, a long list of players, when you think about it. I mean, it's so difficult to win a major that, you know, Lee Westwood, no majors. Luke Donald, no majors. You know, Matt Kuchar, no majors. I mean, Grant Snedeker, no majors. I mean, these are guys that are absolute fantastic golfers, but it's just so difficult. And along those lines, part of the reason that everybody in the golf business, especially yourself, with an opportunity to talk to golf lovers each and every week. I mean, 2018, there's only been 5 players in history, Danielle, that have won all 4 of golf's majors. 5 players in history, and we conceivably could have 3 accomplish that goal this year. Rory McIlroy, if he wins the Masters, that's his grand slam. Phil Mickelson, if he wins at Shinnecock, would be his grand slam. And, of course, Jordan Spieth, if he wins the PGA at Belle Reve in St. Louis, it would be his grand slam. So when you think only 5 in history and the possibility for 3 this year, it's incredible.
Let's talk Phil Mickelson. Okay, he's 47 years old. He's playing in the Career Builders at La Quinta. That was the Bob Hope Classic, played on 3 courses. Andrew Landry's in the lead. John Rahm, Zach Johnson's there. John Daly's there. Sam Saunders. But let's talk about Phil Mickelson. Does he have a chance to win the Open, the U.S. Open, at 47 against, you know, people like Rory McIlroy, people like Justin Thomas, the player of the year of last year, against all of the great players that we're watching coming on, including Dustin Johnson?
Well, you raise a great question, Danielle. I mean, that's certainly on the mind of Phil Mickelson. He likes Shinnecock, where it's going to be played. He's had some good finishes there. Probably had a great opportunity to win when Retief Goosen won in 04 there. He just didn't play the par 5 16th hole well at all. Matter of fact, played it over par for the week, and had he played it, you know, 1 or 2 under, he would have his U.S. Open title. So it's going to a venue that he likes, that he's performed well at, that's going to require a lot of short game magic, and nobody in the game has any more magic around the greens than Phil Mickelson. So certainly he'll have a shot at trying to win, but you know it's so difficult, and the players are so great nowadays. I mean, it used to be well, when you did your first Sony Open, I guarantee you we would show up at a major, Danielle, and we could write down a list of 10 guys
that
probably could win.
Yes.
And now that list is probably 30 guys, maybe even 40 guys that could win. And that's the difference between now and 20 years ago.
It's absolutely true. But Phil Mickelson, how many times did he come in second? Was it five times he's been bridesmaid?
Six times
in second place. That incredible, and yet he still, at the age of 47, has the drive to continue to work his game. Most guys at 47 are going between that. They're, you know, not as good as the young guys on the tour. They're still maybe playing it. Like, okay, Jerry Kelly. Jerry Kelly was at Sony Open last weekend playing beautifully. This weekend, he's at Hawalalai, right? And he's up there, champions to a rookie of the year last year, and he's tied for second at the Mitsubishi Electric at Hawalalai with Gene Saunders, the comeback player of the year. Amazing story, Gene Saunders. What happened to him, just incredible. The burning from the inside, coming back 5 months into his recovery. He's like, I want to go back on the golf course. Or was it 5 weeks back? And his wife looked at him and guys, I can't believe this guy. It's the determination. It's the mindset of some of the people who play this game. And, of course, Tiger Woods is one of them that really keeps them working their game, working their body in the right way, and continuing to strive just to get better. That's a really unique combination that Phil Mickelson has.
Yeah, very well said, Danielle. And you mentioned Jerry Kelly. I mean, people may be surprised to know that it was kind of a fate that got him really involved in golf. He's from the state of Wisconsin, receives a hockey scholarship to go to the University of Hartford in Connecticut, shows up as a freshman, registers for all of his classes, all excited, about playing on the hockey team, and then they disband the hockey team before he gets to play. So he ends up with a career in golf, and certainly not disappointing. But he is an athlete. You know, he's very athletic, just the way he walks, and he's got a tough mental outlook. I like the way he plays, and I certainly admire the courage of Gene Saunders. He didn't know whether he was going to live. Then He didn't know whether he'd ever be able to play golf again. And then he went to Senior Open. And truly, Danielle, one of the real, real nice guys out there. Appreciates everything that's happening to him. Very accommodating with his time. And if any of your listeners has an opportunity to be anywhere near Gene, just walk over and say hello. He would deeply appreciate that. As I said, really a good, good guy.
Another couple of guys on the Champions Tour, PGA Champions, Mitsubishi Electric at Hualalai underway. If you can get there, if you're on the Big Island listening, just go on over. It's absolutely gorgeous. The course is amazing. It's inspirational. It's one of those places where if you can just stand alone and the lava and the green and the ocean, it's magnificent. Miguel Angel Jimenez is there. He's tied for eighth. Bernhard Langer tied for 10th. And Jesper Parnevik, I'm really stoked that Jesper is playing. I love that guy. He's got a great sense of humor, a huge family, and he just keeps on going. He was in New York when the Trade Center came down and didn't play well for a couple of years after that. And I'm not surprised. All it took for it to rattle my little soul was yesterday around 8:07 when my phone started going off. And we all thought there was an incoming. So I'm not at all surprised that it took him a while to recover from what he saw in New York City on that day. Let me transition to Fred Couples and Tiger Woods, okay? I always have been told by every teacher, instructor, that the way you warm up to play a round of golf is to use your short clubs first, let's say a pitching wedge, you know, and then you move up through your bag to the longer clubs, and then you get to the driver. Well, Tiger Woods says because of a conversation he had with Freddie Couples, He's switching it up. He's starting off his warm-up routine just like Fred Couples does, with the driver, because it's a longer, more fluid motion. So it's more action. And when you think about it, it is. It's certainly when you go into the full drive, you're putting a whole lot of oomph into it, and there's a lot of tension in your body, and then the twist. But if you're just warming up with a swing that takes you from one side to the other side, it just made a whole lot of sense to me. I think I'm going to follow it. It's those kinds of tips that I love to get from people like Freddie Couples or Stephen Ames, who has some interesting things to say too about his pre-shot routine.
Well, let me ask you, a potential sponsor for your show is the emergency room. I can see a lot of middle-aged guys showing up at the range. They haven't hit a ball in a couple of weeks, and they take out that driver. They make one swing, they're down on their knees, and they're taking somebody's name in vain underneath their breath. It may work if you do that every – if you play every day, sure, you can warm up with a driver, or if you hit as many balls as a professional golfer. But I assure you, I would not – too bad we don't have Ben Hongo on with us now. He would be able to tell you, whatever you do, don't show up at the range and you're going to warm up and you're going to start with your driver. A little bit risky, I would think.
Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship presented by EGA. Okay, how about Rory McIlroy, his 7-under yesterday, the 65 he shot after the 66 and the 69. He's 16-under for the tournament, and he's in second with Tommy Fleetwood. Ross Fisher and Thomas Peters tied for first. There's some strong contenders for this Ryder Cup team that's coming up this year.
Well, every one of those names you mentioned are going to be in Paris for the Ryder Cup. Great to see Rory McIlroy back playing well. He took off 3.5 months. He's a married man now. It's hard to believe he's been out there for 10 years already as a professional. And I still vividly remember where I got to meet Rory McIlroy for the first time. Matter of fact, we'll be going back there later this year for the Open Championship when it's going to be at Carnoustie. But Rory McIlroy showed up as an amateur. He was 16 years old. He played on Thursday at Carnoustie. The wind was howling. The rain was coming down. It was just miserable. And Carnoustie is regarded as the toughest golf course in the Open rotation. And one player didn't make a bogey that Thursday. Who was that? It was 16-year-old Rory McIlroy. And when I witnessed that and I had an opportunity to speak to him right after the round, I just knew in my heart that I was talking to a potential superstar. He certainly didn't play that way last year, but I think there's going to be big things from Rory McIlroy this year. I also think that Jason Day, who is another super talent that we didn't really hear from last year, I think he's going to have a big year. And when you start saying those names, Danielle, how many people can have a big year? I mean, it's just not big enough. And, and as you alluded to, next week we have Tiger Woods coming back on the scene. And all indications are that his ball speed is way up. His clubhead speed is way up. Will he be able to do that on a very difficult golf course, Torrey Pines? I mean, he has won there 8 times, so he knows his way around. But that rough is awfully tough there. I can't wait. I know a lot of the golf world cannot wait to see the unveiling of Tiger Woods 2018. What is it going to be? Is it going to be closer to a Tiger of 2000, or is it going to be the Tiger that we painfully had to watch over the last few years?
Well, it's always interesting. I was so excited. I was thinking, oh, it's next weekend. He's going to be at Farmers Insurance. My goodness, it's already next weekend. Torrey Pines, where he won the U.S. Open against Rocco Mediate. He won the Junior World when he was 15. He's won 9 times there. That's when he goes to Riviera. What am I talking about, right? Okay, but last year, I was so excited about him coming back and then he missed the cut. That's that's the one thing that I have to temper my enthusiasm for the return of Tiger Woods with the reality. He was playing against 18 guys at the Hero Challenge. He looked great. He played great. And we'll just see what his body brings to this one, this first one that he's going to be playing, the Farmers Insurance. And then he's also scheduled to be at the Genesis Open at Riviera Country Club in mid-February. So at least he's stretching them out, not having them all back-to-back. Bob Bupka, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a real pleasure talking with you.
It's always my pleasure, Danielle. And continued success for another 20-year run. And I think next year, because I heard you at the top of the show that you sailed into that harbor your very first time, I'm going to arrive next year on an inner tube. I just got to find one big enough to hold me, and then I'll be able to duplicate Danielle Tucker. Hey, thanks for having me on, and God bless.
Yeah, Bob, before you go, I forgot to ask you the question that I ask most of my guests. Is there something that you wanted to talk about that I didn't give you an opportunity?
What I wanted to talk about was congratulating you on your 20-year run. Truly one of the best golf shows, radio golf shows in the country, and you deserve a lot of credit for all your hard work, Rick's hard work. You know, it's not easy doing a golf show. Nobody knows that any better than I do, and you do a marvelous job of it, and that's what I wanted to talk about, so you gave me that opportunity, so I thank you.
Okay, and one final note. I asked you about the Ryder Cup. What do you think about the European Tour players? I mean, Bob Bupka is the voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK and host of the Grill Room Golf Show, and you can hear him on anywhere you get your podcasts, the Grill Room Golf Show, and he's the author of the Ryder Cup, Golf's Greatest Event. So, Bob, do you see a lopsided Ryder Cup in France this year or the French coming on? Not the French, but the Europeans coming on in France.
I think it's going to be a highly contested Ryder Cup. And my dream, number one, I'm excited about the fact that we're going to be playing it 18 miles from the Eiffel Tower for the first time in the country of France. And I want it all even when we get to the Sunday singles. I'd love it all even with about two or three matches to go, and that's all you could ask for. But the European team's going to be awfully strong. The United States team is going to be awfully strong. It's going to be a very, very exciting Ryder Cup. And if any of your listeners have a little thought in the back of their head that, hey, someday I'd like to attend the Ryder Cup, please, it might be a long way to go if you live in Hawaii. But I personally can guarantee you this upcoming Ryder Cup will be unlike any other Ryder Cup in history. And if you do make the trip, you'll be thanking Danielle. You'll be thanking
Bob for
encouraging you to go, because it is going to be very special.
Awesome. Bobby, thanks so much for being on the show. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back and talk with Diana DeLucia. She's got something really special coming up in April. And when the tickets go on sale, you really need to get a hold of them. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And coming up this morning, Mel Soul is Director of Instruction and owner of the Mel Soul Golf School. He's just underwent, I shouldn't say just, it's been a couple of months, shoulder surgery and in recovery. And I have a friend here in Hawaii who's going through something similar, and it's agony. He calls the people who are trying to help him rehab the torturers who he has to go visit. So we're going to talk with Mel about your swing, about your game, about Tiger, and about rehab, and why it's so important to push through the pain. Don't give up, because it can get better and you can get back to your mobility. Diana DeLucia, CEO of Golf Kitchen, is with us now. She has a beautiful coffee table book, and she has a magazine, Golf Kitchen, the book, Golf Kitchen Magazine. She is author and award-winning food photographer. She worked for Restaurant Insider. Chefs tell me she makes their food look better than they thought it could ever look in a photograph. This unique 600-page coffee table book and collectible Golf Kitchen, 18 chapters. Go to golfkitchen.com, golfkitchen.com. And then you can subscribe to Golf Kitchen, the magazine. The winter issue is coming out in a couple of weeks or so, and it's got, of all people, the most wonderful man. He has the most amazing stature and presence and charm. And his name is Gary Player, and he's in his 80s. And there's no way you'd think he's in his 80s when you're talking with Gary Player. Golf Kitchen was launched with a Friends of James Beard benefit dinner hosted by Kiowa Island Club, the Voici at Cacique. And just host Chef Doug Blair was joined at Kiowa by Jose Carley from La Casa, which unfortunately is no longer with us. That restaurant and the hotel went with the hurricane. Chef Anthony Giacobinella, Sabonic Golf Club was there. Chef Rye Waddington, Winged Foot, was there, all for the launch. Since the book, then came Golf Kitchen Magazine. And I think it's fantastic. Come on in, Diana DeLucia. So good to have you in the clubhouse.
Hey, how's it going, Danielle?
Excellent. And, you know, when Winged Foot Chef Rye Waddington, he was on the cover of the first Golf Kitchen magazine that came out this fall. Now, in the winter issue, he is interviewing, the chef is turning around becoming the interviewer of Gary Player. Has he talked to you about what that experience was like, interviewing Gary Player?
Oh, Rye absolutely loved. Gary Player is his idol, and I'm not sure if you know, but Rye's an avid golfer as well as being an amazing chef. So, not to mention he works at one of the best golf clubs in the world, being at Winged Foot. So it was very fitting to have Chef Rye write the story on Gary Player, and he enjoyed that interview very much, and you can see it in this issue coming out in a week or two.
In a week or now, if I subscribe, if I go to golfkitchen.com and get my subscription request in now, I'll get this winter issue. It's not too late?
It's definitely not too late. You've still got about 10 days to subscribe, and then that's it.
Okay, 10 days to subscribe to Golf Kitchen Magazine for the winter issue. You can, of course, subscribe. Diana DeLucia is amazing. In addition to being the photographer, she's putting together this corporation she's the CEO of, and she has so many hats that she puts on. She was here in Hawaii at Kohana Iki meeting one of the chefs who's going to be featured in this winter edition. It's a Chef Patrick, I call him, at Kohana Iki. You did the interview with Chef Patrick. What's he like?
Oh, he's a darling chef. He's such a quiet, well-mannered and well-spoken individual who really cares about his team at Kohana Iki. He hasn't actually lost a staff member there since he's been there. Two people left that were part-timers, and 26 have remained for the entire time. That's how much they love it out there with Chef Patrick Heyman at Kohana Iki.
And it's a wonderful. I had the pleasure of being at Kohana Iki. Diana DeLucia stayed there for many days, experienced the spa, the water activities that they have for the residents. I mean, it's the most beautiful residential community. Once you go to Kohana Iki, you really don't want to leave, and there's really no reason to. There's everything. I mean, there's, right, when you go into the clubhouse, it's amazing. There's the smoking room for those inclined to have a cigar. There's the cinema with everything, all the snacks that, you know, I walked into the cinema and went, wait a minute, you know, it looks like a movie theater that I could get popcorn and all the different things that you'd want to get, candy bars and what have you. And talk about candy bars. When you go to Kohana Iki and you're a resident and you play that golf course, which is magnificent because it was built and it wasn't played for 5 or 6 years, it was able to grow in so perfectly. Those root balls, the grass holding on, just feels like carpet. But there are three, what do they call them, rest stops?
At the club restaurant?
No, on the golf course. You know, when you go into the snack shops?
I was
amazed.
It's gone from my mouth, everybody. Sorry.
It's all right. I'll call them rest stops. But there's so much more than that. You walk into it's a snack shop with nobody there saying, "What can I get you?" There are drawers of ice cream cones and ice cream sandwiches, and there are every protein bar that you can imagine, and there are smoothies being made. You can make a soft serve, and then there's a little margarita on the side. A little, you know, freshly made with different kinds of infusions in the vodka. It's amazing. Okay, so that's the one. So then you think, okay, I'm going to go to the second one. It's not the same. Each one is different. It was just an amazing day that I spent at Kohana Iki, and Diana DeLucia spent the whole. What was the spa like, Diana?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. The spa is probably one of the nicest I've seen, and I'm not surprised. The lady that runs the spa is an absolute darling. But I had some treatments there that I really enjoyed, and I'm actually going to write about that in the future. So I interviewed her, and she's a lovely lady. The spa's absolutely amazing with the best products, and I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about everybody seeing the Kohana Iki interview with Chef Patrick Heyman and also his amazing recipes.
It's amazing.
So that's stunning.
That's what's really cool about Golf Kitchen Magazine. Not only are the interviews, then there are the recipes that are suggested. So you get some new recipes to try out every time you get an issue. And it's not overwhelming. Right now it's 4 times a year, although I think Diana wants it to be more often than that, and I'm sure the way she's been working so hard, because not only in the last, 2 years, that Golf Kitchen book, she's working on the second book, she's working on the magazine, and she now has the most amazing event coming up. Not going to Medina. Yeah, she's going to Medina. She says, I'm going to go to Medina. No, what we've got is, we've got this amazing event coming up. Let me just give you some background about Punta Mita, okay? If you don't know, it's the same latitude as Hawaii, but it's Mexico. And so it's on the west coast of Mexico. And it's a kind of a peninsula. and it has a culture that is magnificent, kind of just a combination of Spanish and Catholic and pre-Columbian, everything all kind of in there. And there's, so there's this history. And then there's these two magnificent hotels. They've come together to make the inaugural Golf Kitchen Punta Mita Gastronomic Extravaganza and the Golf Kitchen Cup, a two-day pro-am event in April. Diana, how do you do this? This is incredible.
Well, I'm not sure how that happened. I visited Punta Mita, and I just thought it was absolutely spectacular. And I was there to you know, research and cover their event, the Taste of, I think it was the Taste of Punta Mita, and it was actually amazing experience. And the venue is amazing. It's a Four Seasons and St. Regis property, and Punta Mita is the real estate company. They have their own restaurants. They have the real estate that's absolutely to die for. Everything is there, the ocean, there's things for children, things for teenagers, adults, every single age group. And we hit it off over there, and it was Carl Emberson and I got together at a breakfast and decided we would create this amazing event featuring some of the finest chefs in the golf industry.
So you're going to have this event bringing together the chefs from Winged Foot, from Cacique at Kiowa, from Sanctity Head, from other places that we have not been able to, we can't divulge yet because it's secret and we're bringing them out slowly.
Our fingers and feet are crossed.
Well, the way you've been operating, I'm just incredibly in awe of how much you've accomplished getting Golf Kitchen going. All right, now, the Punta Mita, of course, has this fabulous golf course. John McIntyre is the director of the Punta Mita Golf Club. I imagine that's where the Golf Kitchen Cup is going to be played.
Yeah, I think it's going to be played on both courses, actually. They have two courses there. And they're two Jack Nicklaus signature golf courses. So it should be an amazing event with some amazing competitors. And I do believe some of the chefs are going to play. I know Jose Carle and Chef Doug Blair are playing.
That's Jose Carle. I started talking about Jose. He was in Puerto Rico. Then, of course, the hurricane devastated Puerto Rico, including Royal Isabella, the beautiful, beautiful Royal Isabella, where Chef Jose Carle was. And now he's at Winged Foot?
No, he's now at Kiowa Island Club at Cacique there with Doug Blair. Doug was good enough to take Jose, or should I say lucky enough to have Jose.
Yeah.
And the members at Cacique, I know that they're very happy that Jose is now at Kiowa Island.
Okay. So the guests for the Golf Kitchen Punta Mita, the tickets are going to go on sale pretty soon for this, I understand.
Yes, tickets will be on sale once our media release goes out there and the website will be up, and I'll give you that information as soon as that press release is out there.
It's finalized. And this is a couple of days of gatherings when the chefs put together some of their recipes, and it's a kind of a cocktail party sort of with mixologists, and then the food stations where everybody can try the different recipes that have been brought out?
Yeah, we're having two events. There's an opening cocktail party, and then there's a closing gala cocktail party, and that's at Kapuri Beach Club, which is a stunning, stunning restaurant. They have a swimming pool. They have a nightclub. They have a DJ. It's an amazing, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous beach club right on the water. I can't wish for any more, and I'm so happy to have, you know, an event that really, really showcases the chefs in the premier golf courses. They really deserve it, and having this as a yearly event, it's the inaugural one, I think we can continue to highlight the chefs in the industry that have worked so hard to obtain their status in the industry.
I'm in awe of some of the things that I see chefs now doing in restaurants. I was over at Tommy Bahama's restaurant the other night, and they're making some really beautiful recipes using all of the food that they can find that's grown locally to make the food just come alive. And I think that all started this food or farm-to-table movement that people started talking about maybe 3 or 4 years ago as being the thing to do at a restaurant, you know, or at a resort. Oh, let's go to the farm where we get all of our things. That's been done in these beautiful country clubs for many, many years. They really started them. Who started that movement? Was it Rye or Blair?
Well, I wouldn't say let's go back to the farm-to-table movement. It's not really a new movement. It's something that has been around for a long time, and it began probably back in the olden days before they started using fertilizer.
Oh, yes. Well, take me back. No, I kind of meant...
I would say it's a return.
Yes, yes, yes.
Farm to table that's been, you know, resurgence in the last 10 years, and it's just taking off around. People care about what they're putting in their mouths now, and... You know, you can see that in the general market, in the restaurants, even in fast food, they're starting to pretend to fix their food, at least anyway.
Yes, they're trying. But, my grandmother sent me out to the garden to get something that she wanted to use for dinner. So I understand that farm-to-table has been around, but it just became the thing to do, you know, the thing to talk about. And
Sorry, Daniel, what I do think that Chef Rye Waddington and Wingfoot had really, like, pushed that movement. I mean, they were behind me, like, Sabonic from the beginning with this idea and this vision. And the same with Kiowa and Cacique. You know, they could see the vision and the need to show people there is great food in the golf industry. You don't have to go and have hamburgers and hot dogs. You can have exquisite food if you find the right places, and I think that's trickling down now to all the other golf clubs, and they're starting to say, hey, we need to improve our food, you know, and I think the members deserve it.
I do, too. Punta Mita is a beautiful resort area, a fishing village, a luxury resort, Four Seasons, Punta Mita, St. Regis. It's gorgeous, and there's going to be a Golf Kitchen Cup, a two-day pro-am on the two signature Jack Nicklaus courses. And then there's, of course, the reason we're all getting together is the Golf Kitchen Punta Mita Gastronomic Extravaganza, the annual Golf Kitchen Punta Mita. Diana, so you're going to have to go. Gee, what a difficult assignment you have. You're going to Medina. Why are you going to Medina?
I was told by many people that chefs, Michael Ponzio at Medina holds a great kitchen and that he has some amazing food. And I'll be arriving there on the 25th, I think, this week, and discovering and working with Medina to see what we can show off that Chef Ponzio creates for us. And he will also be in Golf Kitchen America's The Book.
Oh,
I'm excited to work with him, actually, because apparently they have an amazing farm on the property as well, so you know we're going to go there. Well, I won't be going there, but I'll be able to see some pictures of it because it's probably freezing.
That's true.
But nonetheless, I can't pretend it's going to be great weather.
Here we are.
Inside.
Yes, yes. Everything is, yeah, maybe they do have indoors. And so may I just, you know, I tried to reach Diana before we went on the air this morning, and the phone just kept going straight to voicemail, and a very dear person in the chef world passed today, so I thought maybe she was talking to friends. Before we talk about him, though, Diana, may I say what you were doing and the reason why your phone was going to voicemail? I don't think she'll mind. She was photographing knives. What were you
I was. I know. Among other things. I was outside photographing a knife.
Yes.
We're doing a story on a young knife maker in South Carolina, actually, and he was good enough to make us a knife just for the story. He hand makes knives. He's only 24 years old. His name is Mr. Middleton, Quentin Middleton of Middleton Knives in South Carolina, and he hand makes every knife to speculations to the chef, and he's a very talented young man. You can read about that in this issue as well.
In this issue, this coming winter issue?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad I've got my subscription already. Okay, all right, yes, and this is fantastic. Now, on a much more somber note, who was the gentleman who passed away today?
Mr. Paul Bocuse of Lyon, France. He is the founder of the Bocuse d'Or, which is an international chef competition. He's a very esteemed, I can't even call him a chef, he's a god. He's a chef god, and there will be a lot of sad people in the world today, and I kind of don't want to talk about it too much because it's a very sad occasion in the culinary world.
Understood, and I'm very sorry for our loss. Thank you, Diana DeLucia, CEO, Golf Kitchen. Both her book and her magazines you can find at golfkitchen.com, and you can find recipes there as well. And I'm so looking forward to the two-day Pro-Am Golf Kitchen Cup at Punta Mita. We'll talk soon. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Danielle.
We're going to come back, and we're going to get right into rehab with Mel Soul, and we'll work on our swing as well. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
It's going to be a little rainy today, just to let you know that you're going to have your rain gear. But it's a great day to practice your rain game. You never know when you'll be out there in a fabulous charity event, and you'll need to be able to play in the rain. So if you'd like to get out today, Hapuna has a 950, Makalei has a 1010, Poipu Bay has a 920 and an 1140, and the Fowler Group is going out today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Royal Hawaiian Country Club is a 926, Makaha East a 1036. The Kahili Golf Course, that's the home of Claude Brousseau's Maui School of Golf. Kahili has a 1030, Wailea Gold has a 1036, Emerald an 1120, and Maui Nui a 1212. So, and after Mel Soul, director of golf, owner of Mel Soul Golf School, joins us in the clubhouse, who he's standing by, Mackenzie Ling, co-owner of Backswing Golf Events. She's also a professional golfer and does some real fun things with corporate and charity golf events. We're going to talk with her and about Bar Grey and their new line that's coming out for the spring. But let's get straight with Mel Soul, director of golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mel.
Thank you, Danielle. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Mel Soul is a former South African tour player, more than 30 years of teaching experience in South Africa, Canada, and the United States. In the United States is where he has his school at Pawleys Island, South Carolina, just south of Myrtle Beach. And Mel just underwent, I say that like it was yesterday. Mel just underwent shoulder surgery. Mel, so I have a friend who has underwent shoulder surgery, and he's really hurting. Can you tell, how long does the really hurting during rehab last?
Well, for me, it didn't really hurt. When I think of the word hurt, I was never in absolute pain. I mean, it was stiff, yes, and it was, you know, difficult to move. But the secret, really, is to do your whatever your physical therapist tells you to do, you do, and you do it every single day and never miss a day. And that is the secret, because the muscles need, you know, it's been through a traumatic experience and they've been cut and bones have been taken out, and I've got a, you know, titanium shoulder in there now. So that's, for the body, that's pretty traumatic. And so, you know, when I came out of surgery, they had a drip to reduce the pain, and they said to me, at some point this drip will wear out. And I said, oh, that's okay. And about 3 hours later, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was like, holy cow, this is pain. That was pain.
There you go. Yes, so, there was,
you
know, some.
So
of
you
that,
take some painkillers I think I took it for like 2 days. And after that, I was fine, you know. And I just kept doing my rehab and being absolutely religious with it. And it got better and better and better. And after two months after surgery, against my doctor's wishes, I might add, I started hitting little pitch shots and I started hitting the little putts. And I was just dying to get back to golf, you know. So I know a whole lot of my students were emailing me and saying, Mel, I know you're impatient, but you got to be patient with this, you know. And I said, man, I'm insulted that you would think I would do such a thing. But 2 months later, I was out on the tee.
Yeah, but that's so, you know, you can't just go to rehab and do it when the person is, you know, some people only have like one rehab appointment a week. So they send you home and they tell you what to do. You got to do that.
Oh, they gave me a printout of all the exercises, and in the rehab center, they went through each exercise and said, this is the way you do it, this is how many times you do it, and I wrote that all down, and then I was religious in doing it. And when I was doing my rehab in the first 2 months, I never overdid it. I was tempted to do more than I was asked, because that's just my nature, but I really, you know, put the brakes on myself and said, no, I don't want to end up back in the operating theater.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm just going to do it so that I don't tear anything or, you know, hurt anything. And, you know, that might have been the right thing for me to do, because that third month, everything felt really good. And by the three-month period, I went out and played 9 holes. And I shot 1 over par, which I was ecstatic about.
Wow.
You know, I never missed a fairway. And I chipped and putted really well, because I'd been working on that for a month. And so, you know, it's exciting. The thing that has disappointed me up to now is I lost a lot of distance, because I lost all the strength in that shoulder. And it's taking me a long time to get that distance back. I'm still working out in the gym, you know, every day. My rehab is over, but I'm still working out in the gym every day trying to build strength. And I'm also doing a program to increase speed with some clubs that are designed to be swung fast. So I'm working on that. I won't be happy until I've at least got my distance back to where it was before the operation.
Do they say there's any restrictions on your being able to, you know, recover what you want? Is there any reason why you couldn't?
Well, you know, there's a couple of movements. I cannot take my right arm and put it behind my back.
Hmm.
But I said to the, he said to me, you'll never be able to do that. I said, well, I don't care because my hand doesn't go behind my back in the golf swing. And so I don't really care.
Yes.
So I can swing the club now the way I used to swing the club. My swing looks exactly the same.
That's fantastic.
But the strength is the issue. So I'll just keep, you know, going to the gym. I'm doing three times a week in the gym, and hopefully that'll work. So, you know, it's a message to everybody that does have the shoulder surgery. And mine wasn't just an operation to repair anything. It was to replace the shoulder. And so that takes a little bit longer in recovery. But, you know, be very determined in your pursuit of getting the drills done every single day. I mean, it's like your golf swing. If you don't go to the range and work on your game doesn't improve. If you don't work on your body's not going to improve, you know.
And if the doctor says, don't do something until you're ready, follow that advice, yes?
For the most part.
Okay.
You know, this is the way I look at it, yes. Danielle. This is the way I look at it. I'm the only one who can judge my body and how I feel. So I never, ever, even when I started hitting shots, I never, ever did it and you know, did stupid things. I didn't pull out the driver and start trying to hit. I did everything gradually, and if I felt a little twinge, I stopped. So listen to your own body as well, because the surgeon doesn't know what my rate of recovery really is. He knows in general what his, you know, his patients do. But each one is obviously very, very different. I mean, if somebody like a Dustin Johnson went in and had the operation I had, I'm sure he'd be hitting balls in 2 months as well, you know, because his body is used to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his body is. And if you keep working your body the way you have as a professional golfer, as somebody who is intent on keeping their game strong, then your body is always strong. Then it comes back to that place where you were, because it's expecting to. I mean, and your mind is expecting it to. So it's
right,
this mind-body connection of expectation of, this is what I know I can do. So I'm going to be able to do that because I'm going to make it happen. And if you do it with with that kind of mindset, then you're gonna, but you got to follow certain rules. And what you said, I think, at the very beginning is, I did my rehab religiously. I did it every day as they told me, and I didn't stop, and I didn't care if I was sore because I did it. I just kept doing it. Because I imagine sore to a degree of having to...
Yeah, there's a difference between sore and pain.
Yeah.
You know? And if it's a little sore, you know, that's fine. I'm expecting that, you know, from the operation. But it was never anything that was where I needed pain pills or anything. I mean, the doctor gave me, loads of pain pills. They're still sitting in my you know, medicine cabinet. I've never, ever taken any. I'm against most of that stuff anyway. And so I didn't want to put that chemical into my body anyway. So I just, you know, did everything I needed to do, and I was never in any pain.
Excellent. Determination and wanting to do it. We're going to switch gears here. I just have to take care of some FCC business. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KPUA Hilo. All right. Tiger Woods, speaking of rehab,
yes,
returns to the PGA Tour. Farmers Insurance next weekend. Wow, Torrey Pines. I mean, that's a tough course, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, Tiger's won there, I think, seven times. So I think it's a great place for him to start, because mentally, you know, when you've won that many times on that golf course, you know, you have that belief. The belief system is I can play this golf course and I can score low on this golf course. So I think that was a very, very smart move. And he, I think, did what I did. He did his rehab religiously, and he didn't push himself, and that's why it took so long to come back. And now it's showing that he's got everything back. He's got his clubhead speed back. He's got his golfing pain-free. And so in the Hero World Challenge, I mean, that was a absolute stamp of authority that he's back.
Yeah, it was interesting to see what the kids said about the kids, and they are kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What the kids said about playing with him. You know, Ricky Fowler ended up winning. But I think, was it Justin Thomas said, I've never seen him happier with life, with everything. They both live in Jupiter, Florida, and I guess they play regular practice rounds together.
Yeah. And as Zach Johnson said recently, these young guys that are on tour now, they've never played with Tiger in competition. They've played practice rounds with him, but when he's in full flight in competition, they've never experienced that. And I'm just so thrilled, I mean, that he's back, and I cannot wait for Thursday when the first round starts.
Now, you know, this rehab, we've been talking about the comeback of Tiger Woods for many, many years, almost, you know, the knee surgery, there's this surgery, there's the broken leg, then there's the Achilles, and then there's the knee thing, and then there's the back, and then there's the back, and then there's the back, and now, do you think this rehab, when you said he did it right this time, do you think he did it came back too quickly on other times?
Yes.
And he learned, okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think he finally, he's like me. I mean, I don't play for a living anymore. But he, you know, he wants to get back because he's very competitive. And so he thought, oh, I can do this. And I'm sure he didn't listen to the doctors like I didn't listen to mine. But the doctors finally said to him, you can choose. You know, you can go through the rehab properly, and we guarantee we can get you golfing again, or you can do your own thing. And I think even Lindsey Vonn mentioned something about how stubborn Tiger is. And so he was stubborn in that he thought he was, you know, better, and he didn't listen to his body. And now this time he has, and, yeah, when I saw him in that Hero Challenge, I knew just the way he was swinging that it was, he's now pain-free. And I don't know whether he'll ever win another major, but I think he'll definitely win on the PGA Tour again.
That's fantastic. I mean, that you are watching him, because and I'm feeling the same thing, in that I know he's not hurting. You know, there's body language that is so obvious when somebody's in pain, right? It's like, oh, God, I can feel that. And so that's the beauty of it. And what you talked about earlier about being, and I think I brought it up, about being in concert, the mind and the body in concert with one.
Yes.
In Tiger's case, I think his mind demands more of his body than he should. And that's where that he was able to win the Open with a broken leg. You know, or at least a stress fracture. You know, like that's not a big deal. Now, yeah, he had a stress fracture and goodness knows what else going on, and he still won over Rocco Mediate. That wasn't good for his body. I think his mind is like he just demands things and has expectations. And now I think over the age factor has given him a better view, and maybe a little bit of Lindsey Vonn rubbed off on him, because here she's going to be in the Olympics skiing, and she went through a horrific accident, her own rehab, right?
Yeah. So, and I think what that says to Tiger is, if she can do it and do a demanding sport like downhill skiing, then I should be able to do it just playing golf, you know?
I like that. he has the old challenge. He's definitely up for a challenge, right? He's gonna beat the girl. This is, I'm talking with Mel Soul, Director of Instruction and owner of Mel Soul Golf School. And I wanted to bring up something with you that I heard on Golf Channel. I think it was Morning Drive this morning. Stephen Ames over at Hualalai shot a 67 and moved himself up three positions, tied for 31st. He had a 74. And he said during, in between the rounds, sometimes they're interviewed, right? And he said that he was changing his pre-shot routine during the round that he had been playing and when he shot the 67, and he was getting some good results, obviously, changing his pre-shot routine. And the reason he was doing that, he said, I'm struggling taking my game from the range to the golf course. I can't seem to align the ball. He can't aim when he goes from the driving range to the golf course. And I thought, my goodness, how many people have that problem that you and I know? I mean, you don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do.
Oh, you do?
I don't have a problem with alignment, but I have other issues. And I have changed my putting stroke completely in my putting posture and my putting in the middle of a round. Because if you're not putting well, why keep doing the same thing? You know, why keep banging your head against the wall? So you try something else and all of a sudden the putt goes in, and then, you know, the final holes on the golf course, you're putting well. I remember this happened in Ireland. I was playing a golf course in Ireland, and the wind was blowing and everything. And so I got on the putting green, I was practicing. I got this really wide stance so that I could stabilize myself. And I putted lights out the whole round.
I bet you wanted to take that stance with you for the rest. But it's confidence.
Well, what
right?
happened is the very next round, of course, I did the same thing, and I putted like a dog. You know, I mean, so it doesn't mean because Stephen Ames has changed his pre-shot routine today that it's going to work tomorrow. And that's golf. I mean, we constantly, you know, make little tweaks in our pre-shot routine, putting stroke, golf swing, whatever it is, because I think that's a smart thing, not a stupid thing. I think, you know, you don't want to keep just hitting bad shots, so you've got to make a change. For golfers at that level, I think it's a bigger change than, you know, if somebody like me makes a change. But I still think it's a smart thing.
So,
and I think the average golfer
there we go.
Should do the same thing.
Okay.
The average golfer should do the same thing.
So do what works that day, because you're coming to the course with a different feeling inside yourself, your body, your mind. You know, who knows? Your posture is different.
Yeah,
you had a bad
yeah.
night. You're up late. You didn't eat well. Whatever it is, you're different every day. So take advantage of that. I thought it was interesting. You know, changing your pre-shot routine seemed the setup, I think, is more what he was talking about, right? About how
yeah,
you align
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah.
And Jordan Spieth was saying that he wasn't able to align himself on the greens. He wasn't able to, and somebody suggested his posture needed to change so that he could get his alignment back so he could sink those putts that we used to be able to count on, those five-footers that were no
yeah.
big deal, right? So it happens to the best.
Well, it happened to Tiger. If you think back a number of years, I can't remember exactly how many years ago, but he was putting badly, and Steve Stricker was on the putting green. And he said to Steve, he said, come and have a look at my putting stroke. And Steve said, well, your shoulders are wide open and your stance is closed. He said, so you've got, you know. And so he helped Tiger for maybe 10 minutes on the putting green. Well, Tiger went out and won the tournament. And who did he beat by one shot? Steve Stricker.
Wasn't that when the Stricker said, maybe I shouldn't have said anything to him?
Yeah.
I just gave away the tournament.
But, you know, whether it's Tiger Woods or you or me or the average Joe on the course, these things go out of whack without you realizing it. So you're standing there and you think your shoulders are square or you think your feet are square. But if somebody comes along and puts an alignment stick down on your feet or puts an alignment stick across your shoulders and you walk back, you're shocked. You know, you go, wow, I didn't realize I was that far off. And so that's why, as an instructor, I think, you know, the video camera is great for us instructors, because a lot of the time, you know, I've been teaching now, I know you said in your introduction there that I was teaching for 30 years. It's actually 50 years.
Oh, excuse me. I'll redo that.
Yeah. But so I was long before video cameras or any of this fancy equipment that we use now. And students used to argue with me. You know, I used to say, look, you're aiming to the right. And they'd say, no, I'm not. You know, so now with a video camera, you can say to them, okay, have a look. There's your target. There's your feet. There's your shoulders. You're out of whack. And so then they go, oh, okay. And then they actually improve quicker because they believe what you're telling them.
It's fantastic. Mel Soul is director of golf, owner of Mel Soul Golf School, teaching for more than 50 years in South Africa, Canada, and the United States. Your school is still Pawleys Island in South Carolina, just south of Myrtle Beach?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, and if we want to find out more, we can go to, is it ritson-soul.com?
Yeah, but if you just type in Mel Soul Golf School, you'll find it.
There we go.
Yeah, that's easy to remember rather than the Ritson-Soul.
Yes, exactly. Mel Soul Golf School. Yes, owner of, and this is Mel Soul. You've been so gracious this morning. Thank you so much for sharing everything. I think we all learned a whole lot from you.
I want to just say one quick thing.
Sure.
Is I was listening while I was on hold. I was listening to your previous guest, and wow, I'd never heard of Golf Kitchen, but I typed it in while I was sitting here, and that's a fabulous website that I will be visiting definitely more often. And if April wasn't my busiest time of the year, I'd be there for that extravaganza for sure.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh,
That's why people go, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, yo, you don't understand how great this is. This is going to be fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mel
Soul,
thanks so much for being on the show with me. I will talk
again
soon.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha.
Great. Thank you. Aloha.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk with a young lady, Mackenzie Ling, co-owner of Backswing Golf Events. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Wow, what a beautiful day.
Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Mail now.
Yes, I'd love to send that voicemail right now. I'm just trying to get in touch with Mackenzie Ling, co-owner of Backswing Golf Events. That is Backswing Golf Events, created by two women, both golfers, competed professionally for a living, and their company intended on bringing lady professional golfers to corporate and charity golf events. So the ladies were creating this event, or rather this group of women who would then go to, let's say, a charity event or a corporate outing, and they are having fun with the people who are, you know, most people who are in charity golf events. How many of us know how to play the game really well? Most of us need a little bit of help. So that was the whole idea. They would do clinics. They could be there to be a little entertainment, lighten up the mood a little bit for the people who were trying to do their, you know, their golf swing, and then and have some fun. So Mackenzie Ling is co-owner of Backswing Golf Events, and she wears Bar Gray, fabulous golf apparel. So let's bring her into the clubhouse. Good morning, Mackenzie.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. I'm so glad you're on the show with us this morning. I'm so excited. I love Bar Gray clothing, by the way. And Wendy Gray is wonderful. And she is bringing out a pair of black golf pants. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those pair. I've got the shorts and I've got the skirt and I've got, but there are times when you just want a pair, of slacks. You just want to cover up your legs, right?
Oh, yeah, I hear, especially when it's chilly out.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So do you enjoy, what do you like about Bar Gray clothing?
You know, I really like the tank tops are my favorite. All my pros love them. I like the material. We just look sharp. We look clean. They fit nice, you know, and that's the whole point of, you know, us out there on the golf course, we want to look good, obviously, you know, that comes with it. But so it's just been really nice to have her support, and we really enjoy her clothes. So.
And that's exactly how I feel. When I put on her clothes, they feel so good that I already feel like I look good because the fabric is great. The fit is really good. And the way the material kind of hugs you makes you feel put together. And then when you see yourself, it's like, wow, I really look good. I'm really looking put together. And then for some reason, that makes the golf game so much better. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
But I've been talking about Backswing Golf Events. Mackenzie Ling, co-owner of Backswing Golf Events, you put this together with a friend of yours. Tell us how this all started.
Yeah, I started with another professional named Amanda Robertson, and her and I traveled playing professionally together for about 4 years. So we traveled all around the country playing in tournaments. And, you know, in tournaments, we're always kind of required to play in the pro-am before the tournament starts. And so, you know, we would do these appearances, and we're like, wow, this is fun, extra income, but why doesn't anyone have this as a company, you know, where they're actively looking to get into events and do things like that? So Amanda and I created the company in the fall of 2015, and, you know, it was pretty much just started to help us fund our golf careers and really not be that big of a business. We didn't really anticipate, you know, hiring a bunch of people. We just thought, hey, we'll do it on the side and make some extra money. We can play on tour. And then it really turned into, we did 62 events in 2016, and then we did 80 in 2017.
Oh, wow, that's a nice growth rate, a quarter more. That's really, and what about your desires? Which tour were you going for, the Symetra Tour to get into the LPGA Tour?
Yes, yeah, and then I also played on the Canadian tour for a couple years as well. And, you know, for me, my husband and I wanted to start a family, and so I was kind of at my end of playing, and I just really, my heart wasn't in it as much anymore. And so, you know, I've really taken the company and kind of just run with it. And, you know, Amanda obviously is a big help, but she's also still competing full-time, so she's still competing, and, you know, we've hired about 15 other pros who are playing Symetra and other Cactus Tours, Suncoast Tours as well, you know, to help them with their career and in hopes of finding them sponsors and getting on the LPGA. So it's been a really, really great adventure, and I'm so happy to be where we're at.
So you started off trying to support yourself to play. And people don't realize, I don't think, we always see the wealth of the LPGA, and it doesn't compare to the mega wealth of the PGA tour. And you don't think about having to go from one place to another. You fly, do you drive? You know, where are you going to stay? How much is it going to cost? What's my car doing? How am I going to travel? How am I going to get around? Who can I share the hotel room cost with or the car cost with? And who's going to be where? All of those come into play when you're playing professionally, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, and that's why, you know, we travel together and you, you know, split costs. But, I mean, it costs us a lot of money to play professionally. So, if, you know, we can help our friends out to make extra money, to make ends meet and continue to play and pursue their profession, then, you know, I'm all for continuing this and growing. And, you know, it's just, it's really turned into something great.
Yes, Backswing. Backswing Golf Events not only provides personable professionals like Mackenzie for your event, they do clinics and lessons on the range as well. See, now, I love this because we have, you know, we have a charity golf event every week, maybe multiple charity golf events every week in Hawaii. And that's just this island that I'm thinking of, Oahu. And we're only 800,000 people. So, you know, if we've got this many charity golf events going on, and most of us, you know, I know a little bit about the game. I can swing a club. I might even be able to, you know, double bogey it, par five, because I don't have much length right now. But a lot of people are scared about going on the course, and they're not going to even do that. They might have a worse score. But that's not the point. It's going out and having fun, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've noticed a lot more women kind of coming out to the event when they find out that we're out there, because I think, you know, that's a really big thing in such a male-dominant sport. You know, we're showing up to these events, and these guys are like, you guys are the pros? And we're like, yeah, is that a problem? You know, and so I think people just really underestimate, you know, women in golf. And so if we can get more women into the game as well at our events, like, I think that's a really big thing. And, you know, giving them confidence on the range, and that's why we like to do the lessons and things on the range before the golf tournament, because it really, you know, can get women into it and be like, yeah, I can hang out here. I can be out here. And so that's kind of been a really big highlight for us over the past 2 years.
Yes. Now, when you're doing clinics before the event, or do you participate in the event?
Most of the time, yes. Sometimes we'll do a clinic and 9 holes and lunch with a company if they want to host it for, you know, their employees or clients. But a lot of times before the charity event, we'll be on the range mingling with the players, giving them some swing tips if they'd like some help, and then going out on the course and either raising money on a par three, or we're playing alongside a, you know, a sponsor group. So there's a number of things that we're doing for events. It's really customizable based on, you know, how many players they have and a couple other things as well.
Right. So you do charity events, but you also do corporate events, and you travel. Do you help put them together? Do you help them put together these events?
Most of the time, we are just the entertainment on the golf course. So a lot of the corporate events are incentive trips, charity events that are paired with meetings, conferences, things like that, that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think would need our services, but, you know, we're out there kind of making an experience for these people. So if we can show their clients a good time or their employees a good time, you know, that's really what it's about. And so, you know, aside from the charity events and raising different organizations a lot of money, you know, the corporate side is more fun and kind of like a bigger experience, because you get to spend more time with them versus a charity event. I'm, you know, standing on a par three, which is great, but I don't get to be as, you know, up close and personal.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get to interact as much and get to know them and find out what they need. In, you know, some people have strengths and, you know, you don't get to know their weaknesses that quickly.
Right.
This is Mackenzie Lane, co-owner of Backswing Golf Events. Where do we find your website, Backswing Golf?
BackswingGolfEvents.com. Yep, you can see our website. We have a fun video on the front there right when you open it up, and there's a little bit of information on our services and things that we've done over the past 2 years and companies we've worked with. And, you know, Southwest Airlines is our biggest client, and so we're really expanding to a lot of bigger corporations, and it's been a lot of fun.
Southwest Airlines is your client?
Yes, they are.
And Southwest Airlines may be coming to Hawaii like in the next year or so. So maybe you could come to Hawaii, too, via Southwest Airlines. See, maybe would be so cool.
I would love to do that.
Wouldn't that be fun? Yes, they don't fly here yet, but I think it's in the works. That would be great. So, you know, tell us, what's the most requested help that somebody says to you? Is there something that more people ask for than others when it comes to, you know, how do I fix my game or what should I be doing when I'm here?
Honestly, aside from the swing issues that people struggle with, I think, and what I've noticed the most over the past couple of years, really working hand in hand with more people, is their negativity on the golf course is very, like, just unbelievable. I think if people would take a more positive approach to their golf, like, shots and where they want to be versus, oh, there's a bunker up there on the left. Well, how about we focus on, oh my gosh, that's what I want to go right by that pin, instead of focusing on where you don't want to be. And that's really, you know, and I don't think many people talk about the mental game as much as they should, but I've helped a lot of people over the past couple of years really kind of change their mindset on thinking, I want to be up the right side of the fairway versus there's OB on the left side, if you can kind of understand what I'm saying here. But
I do. I do, absolutely.
That's a very big thing.
It is a big thing. And it's like some people have water balls because,
yes,
you know, there's this water hazard, so they're going to get out a crummy ball. So what do you think? I'll just lose that ball. I mean, you're already setting yourself up to lose a ball instead of saying, I think I should, you know, in fact, somebody said that what they do is they take out their most expensive ball because they don't want to lose it, and then they hit it, and then they don't go in the water. I mean, it's all about, you know, what you're giving up in your, you know, I concede this. I am now going to fail.
Yes. Right, exactly. It's just unbelievable.
Yes, and even if you do fail, you know, my mantra has been since I started the show, golf's got to be fun. You're spending 4 hours on a golf course, and that's not even including the preparation to get there and the cleanup afterward. So if it's not fun, what are we doing out here? You know, and you're out in the most beautiful park you imagine or can afford, and that's great. You know, they're all gorgeous. You're outdoors. You're with friends. You're having fun. You should be laughing and and getting a little bit better and just having a good time. So Mackenzie Ling, co-owner of Backswing Golf Events, I love your company. I love the business that you're in. And I love the way you approach this. This is great. I hope we'll talk again and bring you over with Southwest Airlines. Tell them that you got them a bunch of plugs on a radio show in Hawaii, okay?
Perfect.
Aloha. Thanks for being on the show, Mackenzie.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to Wendy Gray. I wish she could have been here, co-founder and designer of Bar Gray Clothing, Athletic and Golf Wear. Of course, she'll be on the show again real soon. I love talking with Wendy. We want to thank the people who make this show possible. First off, let's go straight to the man, Creative Plumbing. Todd, thank you so much. Whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, I'm so glad you enjoyed the little something that we brought back from Maui for you. A new build, a renovation, or a repair. Call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. They've been in the business for 40 years. It's Creative Plumbing. Futurastone. Futurastone's master craftsman turning your building, your warehouse, your showroom, or your home project into artwork. Natural stones specializing in Brazilian quartzite flagstone. It just sounds beautiful. Aquapave on-site stormwater source control systems. That sounds environmental. Interlocking concrete pavers. That sounds smart. And then Rainer doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. It's Rainer doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. You know, that's one of the best things you can do when you're, you know, deciding to sell a house to increase the value. Put a garage door, a Rainer garage door on your home. I want to thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time, and you can always listen to the show at radiogolfclub.com. That's right, radiogolfclub.com. It's podcast from there, or any of the places you get your podcasts from. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.